You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. Now, Nick, Mr. Trump was talking last night, so I thought, well, I'll stay up and watch CNN and watch it via Twitter. And it was very interesting because he's really in attack mode at the moment. He's really quite buoyant. When he gets an audience in front of him, he starts talking. So I like watching that because the lies are incredible. But at the same time, I watched the futures market open at midnight, South African and Central European time, and I saw the S&P immediately fall by around about 1%. And I woke up this morning fairly early and saw that the S&P had completely turned itself around and was up around about 0.5%. And then an hour ago, it was down 0.33% again. But I think the point I'm trying to make here is that things are so volatile, and I can imagine those option books and those derivative books and the retail investors just are in a state of not near panic, but certainly mild chaos. What would you say?
I would concur. Morning, Lindsay. It really is. We keep on saying this. Volatility, September go hand in hand, throw in the fact with markets an all-time high and an election coming up, and also throw in a global pandemic, and you're seeing these wild, wild swings. I mean, I'll put some numbers in perspective. So last night, the Nasdaq dropped down for a third day. It's now officially in correction mode. A correction, of course, is in market terms is the market drops from its last prior closing high, and how quick it drops down more than 10%. So right. Nasdaq, we now know, is in a correction after 3 days. In fact, that is the quickest correction since records began on the Nasdaq. and we had the likes of things like Tesla. I mean, Tesla, 21% down last night, the worst trading day since it listed 17 years ago, wiping off $82 billion. And another record, it's the quickest ever drop in the billionaires index for our South African-born Mr. Musk, who lost $18 billion in 72 hours.
Shame.
Shame, you know. So, I mean, there was some extraordinary volatility happening, but I will say this morning, there was some news breaking with AstraZeneca, who had cancelled. They were one of the front runners to come up with a vaccine, incidentally.
Right.
And news out sort of really late last night after the market, saying that their late stage trial of their sort of COVID-19 vaccine candidate has been put on hold for safety reasons. So that stock's down currently 6% in London. So there's just so many moving parts at the moment, but if we look at the screens today like we do, because this is a market show, there is more green than red, and there seems to be a little bit of stability for now. But as you said on your intro, you know how quickly this can change.
Really can. Now, the S&P futures are up 0.33%, but what has happened is that there's another company that's come out, which is also developing a vaccine and testing a vaccine. I think it's called BioNTech. It says it could be ready. It could be ready for distribution or approval, rather, within a month or so. So I think the market likes that one. So it's all over the place. I mean, can you believe that the markets? I mean, we've been through a few things in our market trading and broadcasting and commenting careers, but to suddenly be looking at the screen looking for a vaccine story in order to base our short-term trading on, it's quite extraordinary. Anyway, let's get on to other things.
Well, I'll just add to that before we move on. I mean, to the extent of this real-time news flow, that there's a lovely, I'll see if I can find this, a lovely picture doing the rounds where a lot of the trading screens where traders used to sit before we got locked up in our bedrooms, you'd have your Bloomberg screens or the Reuters terminals or the 5 screens like I use, and then you have one screen dedicated to Twitter now.
Yes.
And markets react off these instantaneous news flows from Twitter. So even more sort of amplified with what's happening now. So, yes, you're right. We're waiting, scanning my screens, and I've got Twitter up as well, waiting to see if there's any sort of a breaking news on a vaccine result.
Do you ever know those Twitter suite things? I don't know how to use it. I just use a smartphone, an iPhone. Mm-hmm. But have you got one of these things where all the people that you follow, and it all comes flashing up and you get alerts and that sort of thing? Are you quite sophisticated?
No, not at all. I actually have just a screen open on my desktop, which has a scrolling Twitter feed.
Okay.
And certain news I subscribe to. But interestingly enough, one of the add-on features of my Reuters, which we've never have got 10 years ago, is multimedia highlights.
Mm.
So I'll get an email in the morning on certain things in my portfolio. And I'll get emails at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it'll tell me in stocks or in assets or things that I'm looking at in my portfolio, what has got the most spike in media interest over a certain percent. So if you have like someone mentioning Anglo-American on the web more than 5 times the daily normal volume, it pops up to tell me there's someone talking about it, and it's either negative or positive. I mean, that's how sophisticated this data tracking is becoming.
Also open to abuse as well.
100%.
If someone wants to hack, if someone from North Korea or Russia, and I'm not singling out those countries, but if someone wants to get sophisticated and say, right, I need to get short of Anglo-American PLC, so let's put some stuff out, and people like Nick Kunze will have a look at it, and away you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, exactly why I think I take these news flows often with a pinch of salt, unless it's from reputable news. But I mean, Twitter, those for the day traders out there who are trading literally, as the English used to say, on a sixpence, you know, 1 second to the next, you're happy to make 2 pips out of it. Mm. Twitter's an invaluable tool, really. But anyway, interesting times.
Yes, indeed. This morning at 7:05, Momentum Metropolitan Holdings Limited came out with their results for the year ended 30th of June. It's an insurance company. It's got two different types of customers that it services, one the Momentum side, the other a Metropolitan side, down 1.5%. What did you think of that this morning in your morning meeting?
Yeah, not
nothing.
Great. No, it's just, look, we don't hold it, but I mean, it's another case of, disappointing, cancelling their dividend again. The stock never really sort of got going over the years. And I just, difficult one of those, well, I think we spoke about it before. It comes with quite a lot of hope. I have a lot of clients who talk the stock up constantly. Mm. But then you see the results like today again, and there was nothing really that you could take away that was overwhelmingly positive that would make you want to rush out and buy the stock. And I think the share price, as you said, tells the story. 1.78% down, and we've had a complete reversal. We're down 200 points this morning on the market, and pretty much everything's in the green, and the stock hasn't budged. I mean, it's 52-week lows, R13.20, sitting at R14.91 now. So, no, I'm not excited about this one at all. And also another disappointing one, cancelling its dividend.
What about Growthpoint? Growthpoint came out with their results. Consolidated financial statements for the year ended 30th of June. Share price down very slightly 15 minutes ago on my screen anyway. Growthpoint, property company. Probably if you're going to have property, you have Growthpoint, don't you?
Yeah. If you're going to play in the space and own property in South Africa, you stick with the big boys that have the biggest exposure to the bigger, the higher foot traffic quality, of that foot traffic. And Growthpoint would be one of the bigger boys. Yeah, I definitely think this one is starting to look interesting. And I noticed management, who's ever looking then after the investor relations, has been very active the last few weeks. Interviews, they've been in Financial Mail on every other page. They've really been going out and about to again, not talk the stock up, but tell their story, which I think you're supposed to do as a listed company. And I think if you're going to want to own a property share in South Africa, I think these numbers weren't that bad.
Yeah, me too. If I go to the waterfront, I always think of Growthpoint, and I think, if I'm going to have a property company, yeah, this is the one I want, because they've done such a brilliant job there. And obviously that's the most glamorous part of their portfolio, but yeah, so good chat. And who's the CEO? Norbert Sasser, I think it is. Yeah,
he's also another one, good very chat. Vocal, out and about all over the place. Yeah, good quality in this sort of real-time environment. You want to be in that sort of cyberspace a lot, and he is there.
You certainly do. Dollar rand is 16.86. British pound against the rand is 21.83. And the euro rand is at 19.85, which is, weaker. For
1980. Yeah, you're right.
1985, yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Euro dollar is 1.1770 now. The dollar getting a little bit stronger, but these are small increments. Last night in the United States of America, the Dow Jones was down 2.25%. The S&P was down 2.8%. And the Nasdaq had a bit of a smack, down 4.1%. Just give me the update on the futures, if you would. Do you start with the Nasdaq, and I'll go to the S&P.
Okay, so Nasdaq futures were down quite significantly, as you said in your intro. Currently up 0.8% at the moment.
S&P futures up 0.82% now, so they've gone from down 1% to up 0.5% to down again and now up again. So something's going on. People are having a lot of fun or enduring a lot of pain. I don't know which one it is. I think it's probably the painful side. The gold price is 1932, and I keep on getting the increments up or down wrong. So 1932 represents what? It looks more or less unchanged to me in the last 24 hours.
Up $2.
There we go. Same thing. What does it say? Down 22 on my screen. I must get a new screen. The platinum price I've got at 906.5, up $3.5 dollars per ounce. Where's palladium, please?
Palladium is on the flat line, up a dollar at 2278.
Okay. The South African government bond, despite the disastrously bad GDP numbers, which were already factored in, is exactly where it was when we were speaking to David last night. 9.27% is the yield. So nothing happening there. So nice stability. Where's oil, please, Nick?
This is a fun one because I've been having a few guys trading this in the last 24 hours up till quite late last night trading.
Oh, yeah.
So West Texas up 1.63% now, $37.35. It was down 1%. So it's at almost a 2.6% reverse from last hour. So as you said, something is moving under the surface. And Brent, 1.25% firmer at back above $40. That's quite a key level. $40.27.
I've got the US Tech 100 contract, which I think is the NASDAQ, is up 1.7% now. Look at that.
Oh, that's a flyer. Yeah. No, look, the problem is nothing goes up or down a straight line. But we spoke about this last night. I find it fascinating. SoftBank shares down 7% this morning, 6% yesterday morning. So they've wiped out, they profess to have made $4 billion of paper profits. On their option buying in the month of August, when they were sort of just filling up and forcing the banks to chase the deltas, as we said last night on the show. More and more people sniffing around and saying, well, SoftBank are holding this. We know what they've got. It's squeezed them. So their shares dropping 13% in 2 trading days, which has wiped out $18 billion of market cap. So their $4 billion of paper profits that they made has now just been obliterated by their market cap. Markets are extremely brutal sometimes.
They're merciless. On the upside today on the JSE, 15 minutes ago, RCL Foods was up 9.5%. Transaction Capital up 6%. ShopRite, following its spectacularly good results, according to you yesterday, up 5%. Truworths up 3.7%. Their results came out last week. PSG Consult on the downside is 17.7%. Anything there? Is that a finger fault? What's happened?
Yeah, finger fault. It's now down 3.5.
There we go. Someone's going to get a jolly good a telling off. Okay. MC Group, multi-choice, down 3.8%. I remember actually when I had my fictitious portfolio, my trading portfolio with IG, you recommended MC Group when it was about 116, I think it was. So thank goodness that was just a fictitious trade.
It was 102. It was 102.
Oh, okay.
102, yes, but it's been a great disappointment because I was waxing lyrical about this venture with Netflix and all the rest of it, but obviously hasn't come caught up in this tech sell-off, I'm afraid.
Nephi Rockcastle down 3.1% and Momentum Metropolitan 2.2% weaker. Anything outside of those that you're seeing that are catching your eye today on the trading desk?
City Lodge once again. I mean, this thing is doing the virtual rumor mills for last week, and it's been. I wish I could see a bar chart of how many times City Lodge has been mentioned on my phone and on the sort of the WhatsApp groups. I think 20% yesterday, up another 10% today. Certainly getting the interest of some people. I've got so many emails in my inbox about how people are asking, you know, do they own their hotels, do they own their property? Apparently they own all their land, all their bricks and mortar, they own all their assets, they own everything. And guys are crunching the numbers and saying, you know, to rebuild these hotels just doesn't add up to a share price that was sitting at R2.20, but it's up at R3.16 now. So it's up almost 40-odd% in the last week. So and with a lot of cash in the bank after rights issue. So once again, keep an eye on the City Lodge. We mentioned it last night. I think it's certainly one for a recovery share.
And so how much, I mean, let's say they've got 100 hotels, and this is just a random figure. How many of those hotels do they actually own, the bricks and mortar? Every single one.
Every single one, the property and the hotel.
Huh. That's very interesting. Okay.
Very interesting. Yeah. Look, I mean, they've got. I mean, they've just diluted their share a lot. Let's be. I mean, let's not be too kind. Massive rights issue that was underwritten, so shareholders did get diluted, but they are sitting with cash in the bank now, and a PE of round about literally 4.5. And if they decide to pay a dividend with some of that money from the rights issue, you're currently getting a yield of almost 10%, just to put things in perspective. So, look, and heads up, I don't own any, but I'm just saying it's certainly been one I'm keeping on because I'm getting inundated with calls regarding it.
Nick, can you give us the JSE indices? Slightly late today, but at 10 past 10, after hour and 10 minutes of trading, what are we doing?
Okay, well, we're doing a lot better than we started. We're down 200 points on the all share when we opened, and we're now up 419 points. A nice little turnaround, 0.77%, 600-point turnaround, 54,858, and that JSE top 40 that we clawed above 50,000 yesterday, now comfortably above it, 50,602. That's up 0.84%. And if we look down, drill down at different numbers, financials, 0.79% firmer, banks having a good day with a stronger rand. We've got energy shares, 0.27% firmer as oils turn around as well. Basic materials, 0.52% firmer. And on the downside, we have consumer cyclicals, a little bit of a lag, 0.1%. But overall, feeling like quite a good positive market breath, as they say, to this Wednesday.
Very good indeed. Nick Kunze, thank you very much for your time. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth. He's taking a break this evening, but will be back with me on Thursday night with David Shapiro for the 5 o'clock shadow. That was the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.